Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast that we have prepared for Tuesday, March 30th, 2010. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber, and we're working in front of our home office desk today. And our goal, as it is each weekday morning in sharing these messages, is that we would encourage you and also provide instruction from the Scriptures. Today's message is simply titled, The Nails. Powerful scripture text that Brooksine will read. These are the words of the Apostle Peter when he preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:23.
This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross.
The Tremont Nail Company in Wareham, Massachusetts, is the oldest continuously operating nail manufacturer in the U.S., making nails since the early 1800s, and they're still stamping them out. When I lived in New England, I would periodically drive by the company, and although they didn't have plant tours, I recall curiously looking through the windows to watch. The nails they manufacture are not the round kind we typically see these days, but square, peg-like nails. At the little country gift store across the street, I bought three of the longest ones I could find. I still have them, although I've misplaced one. Holding these nails, rubbing my fingers across the coarse surface, and considering their lethal purpose in Christ's crucifixion, illustrates more vividly the price Jesus paid for our redemption.
King David provided, and I quote from 1 Chronicles 22:3, a large amount of iron to make nails for the doors of the gateways and for the fittings of the temple. Well, until the end of the 18th century, they were made by hand, an artisan known as a nailer providing them with a head and a point. We have no photographs nor are details given regarding the nails that affixed our Savior to the cross, but they were likely iron spikes 5 to 7 inches long. In the daily text, the action of nailing our Lord to the cross is taken from the Greek word
prospegnumai,
and it literally means to impale. Did you notice that the English word peg, and you want to repeat that again?
Prospegnumai.
The word peg is in the middle of the Greek word. How indescribably horrible this form of death was.
In fact, I brought those nails in this morning, and again, I just have two of them, but one thing I noticed, they didn't have a very good point, and it made me ponder just what type of tooling they would have had to make nails sharp back at that time. And of course, whether they're sharp or not, the pain would have been indescribable, but even more so with the blunt end. To partially identify with the humanity of Christ, perhaps in a rather basic way, well, we all recall getting splinters in our hands and feet when we would play outdoors as children. Well, I recall that Mom would have the duty to dig out that splinter, and that was a painful process. I might delay even telling her, knowing that there would be pain in getting out the splinter. She'd find a needle with a very sharp point, and that was important to try to minimize the pain. To this day, Brooksine reflects that whenever she has a splinter, she carefully selects a sharp-pointed needle in an attempt to lessen the pain of the piercing required for the needle to enter her skin.
Well, certainly Christ felt the physical agony of those long, thick spikes driven into his hands and feet, in addition to the other horrible wounds that he received. But surely he also felt another type of pain, or nail, if you will, as he hung on that cross for our sins.
We certainly affirm the reality of the literal nails in his hands, and I want to make that clear as we find some spiritual meaning as well to some of these points. And first of all, we consider the nails of blasphemy. This was demonstrated by the soldiers, the thieves that were crucified beside him, the religious officials, and the onlookers, and is recorded in Matthew 27. They mocked and hurled insults at him, blaspheming the very one who willingly laid down his life for their sins. Well, we consider that the opposite of blasphemy is worship. We are called to worship the Lord.
Secondly, Jesus endured the nails of rejection. This was demonstrated by the other unrepentant crucified criminal who hung on a cross beside Christ, as recorded in Luke 23, verse 39. He rejected Christ to his dying breath. The opposite of rejection is acceptance, as taught in John 1, verse 12.
And then we consider the nails of denial. And of course, this was demonstrated by Peter, recorded in Mark 14. The opposite of denial is confession. And we are called to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That truth is found in Romans 10, 8 through 10.
And fourthly, we consider the nails of indifference. This was demonstrated by the soldiers playing games at the foot of the cross, as recorded in John 19, 23 to 24. Now, the opposite of indifference is attentiveness, or giving concern to that which is taught in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3.
And the final nail that we consider, that we see during the time of Christ's crucifixion and the events that followed, certainly were the nails of unbelief. This was demonstrated by so many, those who stood watching from a distance, although some of them did believe and continue to love and follow Christ. Those who participated in the sordid events leading up to the crucifixion, those who carried out the crucifixion, and perhaps most famously, at least initially, this unbelief was exemplified by the disciple Thomas in John 20, verse 25. Well, the opposite of unbelief, of course, is belief. As Christ reached out to Thomas, he did believe, declaring, "My Lord and my God," as recorded in John 20, 27 through 29.
Well, tragically, the majority of people continue to respond to the claims of Christ either by blasphemy, rejection, denial, indifference, or unbelief. And you could add probably several more to that. But we who look upon and embrace Jesus' nail-pierced hands respond by crying out with Thomas, "My Lord and my God."
We give thanks to those nails, knowing that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed.
Let's pray together. As I read through Acts 2, where our hymn text, or where our scripture texts are taken from, I was inspired by part of this prayer. Father, we know that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of Man, ordained by you for a miraculous birth, along with many signs and wonders that you performed through him. He was handed over to wicked men and gruesomely crucified by the nails that bore him to the cross. This was done by your set purpose and in your foreknowledge. But God, you raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And now he is exalted to your right hand, making intercession for us. What wondrous love is this, that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. Amen.
Praise God. Indeed he did. Well, we thank you for joining us today for our daily encouragement. This is the message that we have prepared for Tuesday, March 30th, 2010. We do have a number of photos that we think are interesting on the site, both related to our message, several photos of nails and a crucifixion scene, and actually some art that we found related to the scorning and the gaming that took place around the cross. But also just yesterday, in two different ways, photos came our way that brought back some sentimental memories. One was a picture of my sister's wedding back in 1980. My sister and her husband, Cesar, celebrated their 30th anniversary yesterday. Well, initially, Brooksine got quite a kick out of the picture, just whatever hairstyle I was using at that time. And if you care to look, it's on the site. And then a picture of a young boy that we actually took care of over 20 years ago when he came to the States for medical treatment. He's now a young man with a wife and son. And he sent us a whole bunch of pictures of his family and a trip to the zoo. I guess it was a zoo. They're animals. And if you care to look, they are there. We also, as typical, share music today that we feel would supplement our ministry. One is a hymn or a song title, He Was Nailed to the Cross for Me. And that is the title for a hymn, but this is actually not that hymn, which was I was unable to find a good quality version to share, but this is a newer written song, I would assume. Then I call your attention to a song that really has a powerful message called Playing Games at the Foot of the Cross, and that is available as a YouTube video, as well as several others today that relate to the message. Well, thanks for joining us. We are on the web, and you can get to these additional resources by going to our website at dailyencouragement.net. And if you go today, Tuesday, the 30th of March, 2010, you will see that message. We just post it on our main site, but we also archive it. And if you're reading this or listening to this anytime after March 30th, just go back to the message dated Tuesday, March 30th, 2010. Anything else you want to share, Brooksine? No? Well, thank you for joining us, and may God remind us all through this week the wonderful, the tremendous price paid for our redemption. Thank you.